We're in the studio with our Passages Radiothon, and thank you so much. We're a couple of hours into it, and we understand that we've been getting a few donations. We can certainly use some more and some more help to go toward the effort of Passages, and the number to call is 608-647-2111. We do have a $100 bid right now currently on the You Guest DJ with Those Were the Days, so thank you so much for the $100 bid. And again, to top that, you can call and ask for Courtney here at WRCO, 608-647-2111. We want to come back and talk a little bit more about some of the services provided. Lots of things to talk about in that regard. Let's go to Nate next here, who is with us here today and joining us as an outreach advocate representing Passages. But could you talk about some of the services provided once again, Nate?
Yeah, as outreach advocates, I believe we have a really important role in the community. And a lot of aspects of our work are providing one-on-one emotional support, helping survivors create safety plans, connecting individuals to housing, legal resources, and medical services, facilitating the support groups, hosting community awareness events, educating schools and community organizations about healthy relationships, offering prevention programming. I know that everybody out there's hopefully going to be calling in and sending in some donations, and I know the donations are going to help cover, you know, a small amount of those victim services and new AC for the shelter, a new driveway for the shelter, fencing for privacy and security at the shelter, and emergency victim needs like special dietary foods, health and hygiene products, baby needs, if someone has a child and they need a car seat, booster seat, diapers, you know, any of that. So it's all very needed, very appreciated. Just a couple things to bounce back also to what Audrey was talking about us being able to find resources for anyone that calls in, is we'll find it anywhere in Wisconsin to help a victim survivor. I know personally I've helped people through a third party, a friend, family member that was reaching out for them through emails that was from counties way up in northern Wisconsin, and we found every resource possible and just sent them the information and helped even in that way. So it doesn't matter where anyone's at, we will do our best to provide them with anything we can. Then kind of leading back into what she was talking about with the cycle of abuse is hurt people, you know. Kind of goes like someone's abused, and then they develop a unhealthy coping mechanism, and they either become more vulnerable to an abuser, or that substance abuse aids in them becoming an abuser, and the cycle just continues. So as advocates, we want to interject into that whole situation and stop the cycle from continuing.
Or they're hurting somebody else or hurting themselves, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, as an outreach advocate, you probably, I mean, things probably don't surprise you when somebody comes in and tells their story, but they shock you.
It's
right?
Definitely shocking. You know, we offer prevention programming because healing doesn't happen in isolation, and survivors need a safe space to talk and people to listen without judgment, and access to counseling and advocacy, you know, support with housing, safety planning, legal options, community awareness that trauma responses are normal. And when communities understand trauma, they become safer for everybody living there.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Your job description, we talked about, you know, what you do, but what's a typical day like? Or is there a typical day when you're working?
I think there is a typical day. It can go from phones blowing up and you're having people, you know, in tears needing help, needing emergency shelter, sometimes needing to find a way to get to a city that's an hour away, hour and a half away, to find the resources they need. Just down to people just looking for help, filling out the paperwork for a restraining order, or just asking questions because they haven't got an attorney yet, just to find what they need to ask to find the right attorney. Sometimes people just want to talk, just so they have someone that listens, believes them, and makes them feel, you know, safe.
You mentioned that in your story, Nate, that you needed help filling out papers and, you know, figuring it out. That could make your head spin sometimes.
Yeah, it was more than I was able to understand at the time with everything going on. in my personal life at the moment. You know, it was just all this paperwork. You know, it was just blurry to me. And I had Bev was actually an advocate for me, and she did a great job. Helped me fill out mountains of paperwork and get it all submitted where it needed to go. And her and the other advocate, they, like I said, they were there with me every court hearing. They called me almost daily, text messaged me, would just randomly show up just to ask me face-to-face how I was doing, want to know about my son. It was just, it was nice.
You, and I can ask Audrey this too, you know, because we've talked about some really heavy things here this morning, but what is a good day like? Like on the job at Passage, what would a good day be, or a happy day?
A good happy day would be one where we don't necessarily have a bunch of crisis calls, and we just focus on planning outreach events mm-hmm. in the community, or just going out and doing our outreach and spreading the information about Passages into the communities in the different counties.
Audrey?
I would say just from like past clients and stuff, sometimes paperwork can be long, it can be draining for them mentally and emotionally, and sometimes it's heavy on us too, because you know, we feel for them. We might have experienced something similar to like their story, and we want to make sure that we help them in any way. But I guess the positive outlook for that is, you know, being rewarded with, I don't know what I like would have done without you, like thank you so much for helping me. Like they would come back and ask questions, like follow-ups, or I've had several contacts with clients and they just appreciate everything that I've been able to help with. So it's like empowering for this position, and it's very positive being able to feel like you've, you know, fulfilled, like as an outreach advocate, being able to help several people and them just thanking you for being able to be there for them through that whole entire process, whether it was a few hours of paperwork or paperwork leading up through a whole court process or just day-to-day stuff that they're dealing with.
Yeah, and Shannon, do you want to comment?
Yeah, I, you know, the advocates have a very difficult job. And I want to recognize that, because it takes a lot of emotional stability to take on the stories that we take on. I was an advocate for many years before becoming executive director with Passages, and so I was on the front lines. And, you know, there's a lot of skill involved in being a domestic violence, sexual assault advocate. And one of the hardest parts of the job is not taking that home with you and being able to separate that. This field has a very high burnout rate. Part of that is because it's very hard to not take your work home with you. And what I mean by that is just, you know, people's stories aren't stories. You know, people's stories are their experiences, the feelings and emotions that go behind that. And our advocates carry that with them. And it takes a very compassionate person to be able to do that. Most of our advocates have been through domestic violence or sexual assault. And that's why they want to help and work in this field. So there's very hard days, you know, and one thing that isn't thought about a lot is they have dangerous jobs. You know, they're working with survivors of domestic violence, and, you know, the mortality rate of domestic violence victims is higher than people think. And, you know, we have our advocates working with victims, and we don't know where that abuser is at that moment. You know, people at shelter, you know, the victims and survivors that are staying at shelter, we're in a small town, you know, anybody could probably stop at Quick Trip and say, you know, hey, where's the shelter? And unfortunately, somebody's going to tell them. And so it is a dangerous job. With all of that being said, it is so rewarding. We hear stories like Rose, you know, that was in a very difficult position with a child and got help from Passages and now is successful in her life, you know, and success isn't measured by us. It's measured by them, you know. Everybody has their own version of what getting out of an abusive relationship looks like and being successful in their lives. Some of it, it's gaining housing. Other ones, it's being able to have a job where you don't have to be scared to go to work because your abuser might find you. You know, so there's a lot of different things that go on with that, but there's a lot of really positive days as well. You know, today is a very fun day, you know, being on the radio, being able to share what we do and why we do what we do. And, you know, the days that we get to help somebody move into their first apartment by themselves, you know, without an abuser, and the excitement that they have, even though they may have no furniture, they might not have anything but the clothes on their back. The excitement of knowing that that apartment is theirs, we get to share that with them, you know? And then when we go pick up a mattress or we go pick up a couch that somebody is donating and we get to give that to that person and to see the joy. We just did it, Nate and Audrey and I just did it last week. You know, we were able to donate furniture for a mom with a couple of little kids that had no furniture. You know, she was sleeping on an air mattress on the floor with her two kids, and the excitement and the joy of her being able to have that was just, I mean, it fills your cup. It really fills your cup. And that's what keeps us going over the hard days. It's absolutely worth it.
If someone is listening and they would like to donate furniture and things like that, can they contact you through the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can contact us through the website at www.passagesrc.com. Or you can call the business office Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30 at 608-647-8775. And that number is also on the website. And just let us know what you have. Generally, depending on what staff we have, you know, we may be able to pick those items up. There's a lot of people that could use furniture and things like that for their new apartments, especially at Ada James Place. So once again, that counts towards the match that we need for our grant. So
good. Our number is 647-2111 here at the studios to donate. Also up the bid of $100 for 1 hour on those were the days. And you have a little over a half hour to do both of those things. We'll be back with more as we continue on with our Passages Radiothon right after this.
WRCO Studio is proudly brought to you by the Richland Family Restaurant, your go-to for great music and tasty moments.
Welcome back to our morning show studios, extending the morning show till noon today. We have a $150 bid for the guest DJ spot on Those Were the Days, $150. You have until noon to outbid the current bidder, 608-647-2111. Again, that's an auction going on. So if you bid, you don't necessarily have to give that money there unless you're the top bidder. So give it a try. And then also you can bid until noon today at 647-2111 and help out the cause. President of the board, Chris Simonson, is back in the studio with us, walking back in here. Things are going well today, looks like, Chris.
Things are going well today, Phil. Yes, that's true. We've had a number of calls. We've had a number of donations from, I want to thank Henry Bray. He's been real good about reaching out to people. And in Lions, we call it tail twisting.
Oh.
But Hank's been doing a nice job of reaching out and helping us. So it's been a positive day thus far.
I appreciate him saying that he's going to sing if people don't pay, you know, and so far they're paying. So that's
They'd
good.
Much rather pay than listen to that. So, yes.
So let's talk a little bit about some more things that we want to talk about with Passages and what it does for the community. And do you know about its service area and where it provides services?
Richland County, some counties that it touches. I mean, we reach out to Muscadet and Blue River areas, even though they are in Grant County, Crawford County, A little bit of Vernon County, I believe, not the entire county, but portions of Vernon that are close to Richland County, a little bit into Iowa, a little bit into Sauk, but our strongest counties, full counties, would be Richland and Crawford. But then again, the areas that that touch those counties, because oftentimes those communities are closer to, you know, like I mentioned, Boscobel, Blue River, Muscadet, Viola, those type of places. Yeah.
The role of the board, Chris, some things that you'd like to see done in the future, goals as we look at, you know, 5 years down the road or so?
I think we as a board need to do a better job of making sure that we are helping to promote passages to get things out into the community, whether that's, you know, we've tried some new things within the past year to year and a half. We've tried billboards to see how that would work. We have some things that are shown in Center Cinema and at the drive-in, you know, little blurbs telling about who we are and how to get a hold of us and what kind of services we have. We're working on getting some flyers that go up in the windows of local businesses. My wife and I and some friends were in Maine last summer for a vacation, and in a number of the towns we were in, we saw these beautiful, colorful flyers with a photograph of a victim with just a little blurb saying, "This is my name. I am still here because of and there's a QR code to scan and a phone number saying reach out and we can." So that's something we're looking into, along with the help of our person, Dawn, who takes care of our website and Facebook and social media and things like that. So we are looking into those things, because this is a different world, as you know. You know, people get their information in different ways than they did when you and I were kids. So we have to adapt to that. And so, yeah, I think one of the jobs of the board is to make sure, again, that we are more prominent in the community, that everybody knows who we are, and then looking at ways to continue to support the great staff that we have, and perhaps additional means of fundraising, as Mr. Rudersdorf was talking about, the different things that our funds go to that we raise.
So, from what you know, is Passages unique? I mean, other places have shelters, I'm sure, but is it kind of unique in what they do and the services provided?
It's unique in this area, I feel. But there are other communities that it seems like every community does things that are very different. For example, 2 years ago, I was speaking with somebody. I forget if it's Porch Light or something. It's a group that's up in Duluth Superior, and they have a shelter. In addition, they have transitional housing, and they were building a second transitional housing, and that was all funded by their communities. Duluth and Superior, the cities, gave money because they realized the significance of this. Obviously, much larger community up there, you know, they could produce Bob Dylan, so they can do anything. But, you know, so they saw the benefit of this and the need for this, and they said, "We are going to support this, whatever you need to staff this, to have the transitional housing." So it's, even though all the places offer very, very similar services, each one is so different from one another in the way that they operate, in the way that they are funded, and those kind of things. It's, I don't want to say it's comparing apples to oranges. Maybe it's McIntosh to Braeburns or something like that.
As you look down the road here, we're hoping the last half hour is a successful one. So, you know,
yes,
go ahead,
absolutely,
and make a plea to former students, members of your parish, or whatever the case might be.
There we go. So this is something that began a number of years ago. I don't even know how many years back it went. I know Will Burroughs was, when he was a member of Passages, he would write a radio show every year, and that seemed to be very successful. People would listen to those every year just to, you know, to get that message, almost like an Unshackled sort of a thing, for those who are familiar with that. But this is an annual project of Passages to reach out and appeal for financial support for those who would like to call up and say, you know what, I would love to come to Ada James a couple of days a month and show the people there how to cook with a crock pot. Because if you've never done that before, you don't have any idea how that thing works. So I would be willing to give of my time and come in and use some of the resources that are there for the clients and say, oh, you know what? We've got a 4-pound bag of chicken breasts that's in the freezer. I'm going to show you how to take that and this can of peas and this can of cream of mushroom soup and make a nice meal for your whole family. Because if you've never done that, you don't know. It's a skill that, you know, I was around the kitchen enough and I saw Mom do it and I knew what you needed to do if you're making a, you know, a Swiss steak in a crock pot. Oh, that's what I need to do now. But, you know, whether you're offering to volunteer, whether you'd like to come when we have the shed parts that show up, yeah, I'm more than willing to bring my saw and my screwdriver, my electric drill and my hammer, and let's put that thing together. We can do that in a day if we get the 6 or 7 people there. That way we can use that shed to store those things, you know, our snow blower and the lawnmower. If you've got something to paint, I would love to come in and paint the exterior, you know. I'll power wash the outside of Ada James, whatever you would like to do. So it's not necessarily asking for money. It's what I say every Sunday in church. Yes, our offerings are what we give monetarily, but remember, our offerings are also what we do for one another. And people tend to overlook that and think, well, if giving money is the only thing I can do, then, well, no. Anytime you're helping somebody, that's an offering as well. So in addition to asking for any financial support that you can give to Passages, if you would like to call and volunteer your time and your talents, that is certainly welcome.
Sounds good. Thanks for what you do, Chris.
Thank you, Phil.
Chris Simonson joining us. We'll be back with a final portion of the Passages Radiothon after this timeout. 100.9 WRCO. Thank you, Bo. Again, you have until noon. 647-2111 is the main line. You can talk to our Grace volunteers. 150 at Last Word was the bid for the hour with Those Were the Days, where you play, you program the show and have a little fun for a future show coming up. You have until just before noon to get that bid in. Shannon, we wanted to talk about some of the services provided by Passages, if somebody's just tuning in and kind of wondering about what they do.
Yeah, so we offer a lot of services, from most well-known as our emergency shelter services for anyone that's been a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault or other personal crime. We also have outreach services, so you do not have to be a resident of shelter to receive services from Passages. That's been a misconception for years, is, well, I don't need to go to shelter. You can still receive services. As I stated, you know, earlier, there were 589 services last year that were done outside of shelter by our outreach advocates. And so, you know, that could include legal advocacy. Maybe you need help with a restraining order or other legal paperwork, medical advocacy. If you've been assaulted, we have advocates that can go with you to the medical facility and be that support system there for you. And then, you know, if you work for a business or organization and you want one of our advocates to come in and educate your team on signs to watch for, one of the big scary things, I guess, is what do you say to somebody that's come to you and said, this has happened to me or this is happening to me? You know, a lot of times it's kind of like when there's a death in the family, we're not really taught how to respond, you know? And so even just educating staff or community partners on what do you say to somebody who has been assaulted, you know? And then making sure that obviously the resources there for passages and how to get in touch with us and get additional resources. So
you and I have talked about it on this program before, but a lot of times somebody comes to passages, maybe they get services there. Unfortunately, they sometimes will go back to that person or go back to that way of life, won't they?
Absolutely. That's a very good point that you brought up. On average, it takes 7 times for a person to finally leave their abuser. So that's 7 times of being abused in whatever form that is, to where that victim has had enough and they leave, and maybe they go to a family's house, maybe they come to passages, you know, maybe they sleep in their car. But during that time that they're away, the abuser is panicking. And the abuser is going to say anything and everything. The I'm sorry's, it'll never happen again, I just lost my cool, whatever that is, to get that victim to come back. And because the victim is still at that point that they don't want to believe that this person is really bad, they do go back. And what I like to tell survivors is the person you fell in love with is not the person who's abusing you. And so when you leave that relationship, you have to grieve that person that you fell in love with, that you see during the honeymoon phase of the violence cycle, that super nice person. You have to grieve that loss in order to be able to leave. And so 7 times is the average that it takes for somebody to leave permanently, which is staggering. But as I also stated before, there's a lot of victims that don't even realize they're victims until very far into the relationship. It might be a year, might be 2 years before they actually realize that this person has taken control over their life, because it's not done overnight. It's done very gradually over time, to where you get to that point that you're like, oh my gosh, you know, he's tracking me, they're tracking me, they're, you know, I have to explain why it took me 20 minutes to get home from Walmart when it should have took me 18, you know, those types of things. And so it takes a little bit. And so, yeah, it 7 times, it's just staggering.
It is. The other thing we haven't talked about is if someone is listening this morning, going through some sort of some of the things we talked about, reach out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, anybody can call Passages. We have a, you know, our 1-800 number, 1-800-236-HELP, H-E-L-P. You can call that number. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to give any identifying information. You can just call and see what services we offer. You could call and just have somebody listen and tell your story, get it off your chest. What I've found being in this work for so many years is, especially with sexual assault victims, the first person they tell, that person's reaction is going to determine if they ever tell anybody again. And sometimes people will call our crisis line and it'll kind of be that little test, you know, how is this person going to react if I were to say this is happening to me? And so fortunately, Passages has well-trained trauma-informed advocates that answer that phone 24 hours a day. So there is always a live person on the end of that line. It's answered by shelter staff. They will listen, they will provide that sympathy, empathy, that caring, compassionate voice on the other end, And you can call as many times as you want. Like I said before, you don't have to need shelter services. You don't have to need any services. You might just want somebody to talk to, tell your story, kind of that test, you know. Maybe you want to tell a family member this is going on, but you don't know how they're going to react. You don't know how to tell them. Give Passages a call, because our advocates can help walk you through that and help you with the courage to do that, because it's really hard. It takes a lot of courage to tell somebody what's really going on. So I encourage anybody to give us a call. Like I said, whether you're looking for services or not, we're here to help.
And law enforcement, do they sometimes give referrals?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of times that we'll get called by law enforcement that, you know, there's been a domestic and they would like, you know, an advocate to help provide services, or they need to bring somebody to our shelter on an emergency basis. Absolutely.
Nate, anything you want to say here as we get set to close down in the next few minutes?
Yeah, I just want to stress how important and needed the work we do at Passages really is, that we work to prevent domestic violence and sexual assault while supporting survivors and rebuilding their lives, and that through the advocacy and the crisis support, the education, prevention programs, helping survivors access resources, our community outreach and awareness, our goal isn't to just respond to violence, but to prevent it by helping people to understand the roots of trauma and abuse. And all of this is just a part of what the donations that everyone being so kind out there is going to facilitate. And if there's just one thing that we really want people to take away from all this, it's many behaviors that we judge on the surface are actually signs that someone's been hurting underneath. I just want to say it one more time. It's that many behaviors that we judge on the surface of others are actually signs that someone has been hurting underneath.
I know that you've been at this long enough where you've seen some success stories where somebody has started a new life, and man, that's got to be gratifying, right?
Yeah, it makes the whole job feel worth it. You know, you're actually serving a greater good. You're causing better to be spread out into the world.
Thanks for what you do, Nate.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a part of the program. Darlene is back with us as well. Darlene, you couldn't do it without the help of the community, could you?
We really can't, and I just want to take a shout out and let you know the month isn't over yet when it comes to making your feelings known about how you can support the work that Passages does with, I think we have Denim Day coming up, I'm sure you talked about that, but that we've already had a couple of events, one being the Lipsticks and Dipstick event. I was there personally and want to make a shout out again to TC Auto Works and the partnership that they created with us and hopefully is ongoing. They have for the last 3 or 4 years really done a great job. Other partners that haven't made their way to us yet, anything, we're game for a lot of things, to just get the word out and help people live their more authentic lives. And I just want to again just, you know, thank the Mullers for hosting us. Even though it was rained out, it was that really bad storm on the 15th on tax day, if you remember. We were there waiting for people to show up, and they offered their facility for us, and it was just the camaraderie that I enjoyed in partnership with our local people here, and again just to emphasize that if you got an idea or if you have a way that you want to reach out, we're willing to listen. We're always looking for those partners that want to make our part of our county and who we are a better place.
Thanks for what you do. Yep. We'll take a final time out and be back with the last portion. Again, 647-2111. If you want to make a bid on the Those Were the Days, you can do that. Or just give us a donation. Any amount would certainly be appreciated here during our day for Passages. And one more thing, Darlene.
Yes, I want to thank WRCO Radio too, from the board and from Passages for hosting this event. And I'm sure you're going to hear that a couple more times, but personally as a board member, I want to thank you for everything that you do, not just today, but other days to support what we do.
Thank you for saying that. It's a pleasure. We'll be back with the final portion next. 100.9 WRCO. Welcome back to the final portion. We have a $200 bid on the guest DJ spot with Those Were the Days, so thank you very much for that. If you'd like to up it, you've got a few more minutes. Talk to Courtney. She's kind of the head ringleader of that. 608-647-2111. Final chance to make a bid here as well. Audrey, anything that you want to say in terms of the way it's gone today or anything more about passengers?
I just wanted to say, like, if you've ever been too scared to reach out to passages or feel like, you know, you're just too nervous, I just highly recommend to give us a call. We have amazing staff that is more than willing to help you in any situation that you're in. We'll make sure to give you any support or resources that you're looking for, and we're more than willing to help you take that next step.
And you're one that speaks from experience, right?
Yes.
And you told me, and I can say it on the air because you already did, but you're 22.
Yes.
And you seem like an old soul. I think you'd be a very good person to talk to.
Yeah, I would say I'm considered the therapy friend that most of my friends would come to get advice or just vent to me. And because I'm, like, young enough, then, like, usually the younger population is more than willing to reach out to me just to, you know, vent about certain things and that younger generation. But also, I can also help the older generation feel like they're being seen as well, just from understanding, you know, all the different aspects of all the age groups that I've worked with in the past. So,
well, thanks for all you do.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. And anything you want to say, Shannon, in conclusion here today?
I just want to say that I'm very proud of Passages as an agency. I'm very proud to work here, and I'm very proud of the staff that we have. We do have some younger staff, and I think that's phenomenal because they can connect with those younger victims and survivors, whereas sometimes us older advocates, we represent moms, and they don't want to talk to their mom. They want to talk to their friends. And so having a good, diverse team really makes a difference. And the shelter advocates that answer the crisis line, they are just amazing. And, you know, they're good listeners, and they are trained on trauma-informed care and, you know, things to say to help you feel better about your situation. So definitely give them a call. Don't be afraid to call Passages 24/7, 365 days a year. You can always reach somebody.
Well said. I think we've got a gang out in the hall there. Darlene, if you want to signal Mr. Simonson, I think he wanted to come back in here for a few words, along with some of our volunteers that have been busy. Again, 647-2111, if you'd like to bid here in the last moments. There is Mr. Simonson as well. And, well, let's give him a microphone, if we would. And I think he's got some closing comments. Chris?
Yeah, it's a microphone. I've never used one of these before. If we haven't announced it, and I haven't heard everything today, Shannon will be leaving us at the end of the month, May 1st. And the board in particular would like to thank her for the many years of work that she put in here. She's very passionate in what she does. She's a fantastic leader. She always leads with her heart and is always concerned with what's best for those who are in greatest need. So we have a small gift that we would like to present to you, if we may.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. And Shannon Roberts. Yeah, again, she's done a great job. Oh, she's supposed to open it now, is she? Oh, she is. Okay. That's part of it.
She doesn't know it's coming.
Okay.
Although she didn't open the card first. Remember his kids?
Oh, yeah.
You got to open the card first.
We'll give her a chance, though, with this.
She can read that later.
Okay. Doing play-by-play. Looks like maybe it's an award.
Oh, wow.
That is very nice. So, yeah. It says, with our greatest appreciation, we hereby honor Shannon Roberts in recognition for your passion and commitment from Passages Incorporated. Thank you. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this. Passages will always be near and dear in my heart. And I will be volunteering and putting those hours and moving forward. So thank you so much. That was a wonderful surprise.
They're not done with you yet, it sounds like. You're still going to be back. So. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who called in. It was a fun day. We'll figure out some totals here and give those to you during our news at noon. Thanks to Bo Hendricks in the other room there and everybody a part of it, the RCO staff and everybody from Passages. It's been a fun day here during our annual Passages Radiothon.